All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and as you're turning in your Bibles to John chapter 8, I want to share with you just a thought. The Bible has quite a bit to say about darkness and about light. In the very first page of the Bible, if you were to flip to Genesis chapter 1, you would see darkness representing chaos and disorder. Darkness, the Bible says, covered the depths of the water. And do you know what God's very first words were in the Bible? Let there be light. And the Bible says that God said it, and then it happened. The lights had been turned on, if you will. And God saw the light. He saw that it was good, and He called it good. And then He separated the light from the darkness. And from that moment on, from that moment, from Genesis to Revelation, what we see is this battle between light and darkness. The light which God called good and the darkness, which is often the wicked world, the evil world. There's this battle that unfolds between Genesis and Revelation. Praise be to God, He won the battle. And we don't fight to win, we fight from victory. Today we use that same language. When I say today that it's a dark, dark world, you know exactly what I mean when I say that, with good reason. In John chapter 8, we come to one of Jesus's famous I am statements. He says this, I am the light of the world. And when Jesus said that in John chapter 8, what He was saying was, I am God. That was Him making His full claim of divinity. God was saying, Jesus was saying, I am God. Not only was He saying, I am God, but He was also saying, I am good, because light is good. Jesus had made the audacious claim to be God, but He also backed up His claim. They weren't just empty words. He did things that only God could do. He didn't just say it, like he proved it. And today, you and I have one of two options in how we respond to Jesus' claim to be God. It's the same two options that all of history has had. We have one of two options. We can either receive Him as Lord, or we can reject Him as a fool. Either we can receive Him and say, those words are true, or we can reject Him and say, no, that's a foolish thing to say. Hear me when I say this. This, the most important question in your life, the most important question, no exaggeration, the single most important question that in your life that you must answer is this: who is Jesus? And the way you answer that question, that has eternal consequences to it. It'll affect your eternity. From that point forward, you can receive Him or you can reject Him. The choice is yours, but I want you to know there's no middle ground. There's no middle. You either receive Him or you reject Him. Either He is the great I am, or He's not. And you have to make a personal decision. You have to decide that for yourselves. With your Bibles open and in hand to John chapter 8, I invite you to stand as we honor the public reading of God's Word. We're going to read John chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 12, and we're going to read down to verse 29. And as I read, I want you to consider this question: who is Jesus? John chapter 8, verse 12, God's Word says this: Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to Him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid. Even if I testify about myself, Jesus replied, my testimony is true because I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you don't know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true because it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent Me. Even in your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies about Myself, and the Father who sent Me also testifies about Me. Well, then they asked Him, where is your Father? You know neither Me nor My Father, Jesus answered. If you knew Me, you would also know My Father. He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple, but no one seized Him because His hour had not yet come. And then He said to them again, I am going away. You will look for Me, and you will die in your sin. where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said again, he won't kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. You are from below, he told them. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Who are you? They questioned. Exactly what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus told them. I have many things to say and to judge about you, but the one who sent me is true. And what I have heard from him, these things I tell the world. They did not know that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own. But just as the Father taught me, I say these things. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him. Would you pray with me? Father, we're grateful for your word. So grateful that your word is good and true and right. And Father, we're grateful that you sent your Son Jesus, that he is who he said he was, that he is fully God, fully man, that he is the light of the world. And God, I pray that today, as a result of preaching your word, I pray that you would change lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, you know there's nothing that I can say that can be persuasive. There's nothing I can do that can be persuasive, but your Holy Spirit can. Your word can change lives. I pray you would use your Spirit to change the lives of the people in this room. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all the ways you've blessed us. Thank you for all the ways you've enlightened us. And I pray, God, you would help us. Help us today as we seek to study your word. We thank you. We love you. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. When answering the question, who is Jesus? You have two options. Your first option is this. You can follow Jesus and he will give you the light of life. That's our first point. Follow Jesus and he will give you the light of life. Believe and receive. That's your first option. And that's the option that I would strongly recommend to you today. Now, remember the context of John chapter 8. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about this. This passage takes place on the heels of the Festival of Shelters, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And there were two things that happened in the Feast of the Tabernacles. We talked about this first thing a couple of weeks ago, that water parade. Do you remember that? The priest would lead water down into the temple, and that was designed to help the Israelites remember that it was God who provided water for them while they wandered around in the wilderness in the desert for 40 years. God provided the water. And during that water parade that occurred during the Festival of Shelters, or the Feast of Tabernacles, during that water parade, it was a reminder to everyone in the room that God will provide what you need. And by the way, that's why Jesus stood up and said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And if you do, you will have streams of living water flow from deep within you. There was that water parade, but secondly, there was also a lighting ceremony. In the temple, there were these huge lampstands that would extend up into the air. One commentator says that the lampstands were so big that they were as tall as the temple itself. They were huge lampstands. And on the top of those lampstands were bright and burning flames that lit up the entire temple. Lit up even parts of Jerusalem. It was huge. It was beautiful. And the purpose for both the water parade and the lighting ceremony was to help Israel remember when God led them out of Egypt, when God led them on the Exodus, when he led them out of slavery. He provided water for them, but he also led them. Question for all my theologians in the room. That's you. Everyone in the room is a theologian. Question, how did God lead the Israelites out of slavery in the book of Exodus? Pillar of fire, a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. He led them with light. Here's what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. It says the Lord led the Israelites. He guided them by a pillar with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He led them out of Egyptian captivity with light. And look at where Jesus was. Look in your Bible, John chapter 8, verse 20. When Jesus said these things, where was he? My Bible says this. He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple. Does your Bible say something like that? Speaking in the treasury while teaching in the temple. Now, the treasury was found in what was called the court of women. That's not like a place where Judge Judy hung out. not like a tennis court. It was instead a place where people gathered. And in ancient biblical times, when Jesus spoke these words, women could go into the temple, to the court of women, where the treasury was, but they could not go any further. And so, the largest crowd that Jesus could possibly be in front of would likely have been right in that court of women. Both men and women would have been there. And in that court, there was this huge lampstand with a bright and burning flame on top. And you can almost see it. Like in your mind's eye, you can almost see Jesus with this huge crowd. And you can almost see him pointing up, can't you? And then he says this, look in your Bible, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. And you better believe, when Jesus said that, the Pharisees, they were angry. I mean, they were hacked off. It'd be like if I stood up here and said, Roll Tide. You'd be angry if I stood up here and said, Roll Tide. I would never say that, because I don't want to gloat. You'd be angry if I showed you my Alabama Crimson Tide tie. I would never do that because I don't want to gloat, and also I don't want to get fired. You'd be upset though if I did say that. But you wouldn't be upset because of what I said. You'd be upset because of what I meant. Because what I mean is 27-24, Alabama beat Missouri. The Pharisees weren't upset because of what Jesus said, not necessarily. They were upset because of what Jesus meant. And what did he mean? Well, let me tell you what came to mind, what came to the mind of the Israelites when Jesus said those words, I am the light of the world. Two things would have came to their mind. First, this is an I am statement. Maybe you've heard of that before. There are seven explicit I am statements in the book of John. His I am statements are crucial to understanding who he is. When Jesus says, I am, he was clearly and obviously communicating to anyone who could hear him that he is God. And you say, well, how is that? Well, it harkens back to Exodus chapter 3. There you'll find the famous story of Moses and the burning bush. Moses is walking in the wilderness and he sees this bush that's on fire, except the challenging thing was that the bush wasn't on fire. There was just a flame in the bush, but the bush wasn't burning up. The flame was just there. And if you're having a hard time comprehending what that was like, so did Moses. In fact, the Bible says that Moses walks over because he's curious. How could there be a burning bush and yet the bush not be burning up? How does that happen? How can there be a flame and a fire, but the bush doesn't burn up? And so he walks over, and as he walks over, the Bible says that God said, take off your sandals because you're about to walk on holy ground. And then the Lord began to tell Moses exactly how he would use Moses to lead the Israelites out of bondage and slavery. And Moses protested at first, like, who am I? I can't do that. I can't lead these people out. And you know what the Lord said? He said, I'll be with you. And so the next question Moses asked is, well, who are you? Like, what do I tell the people when they ask me, who are you? What do I say? And here's what God said to Moses, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. He said this, I am who I am. And when they ask you who I am, you tell them that I am. God told Moses, you tell the Israelites that I am. In Hebrew, that's the word Yahweh. I am Yahweh. That's the name of our great God. And Jesus stood in the treasury, in the temple, and he said, Yahweh, I am the light of the world. And so he said he was God. And they were angry. But there would have been a second visual that came to their mind. The second thing that came to their mind when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, was that pillar of fire that led the Israelites out of bondage. That pillar of fire, that light that led them out of bondage and into freedom. That was already on their mind because this occurred on the heels of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And so when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. The people heard him say Yahweh, and they heard him say that he was the light, the one who led the Israelites. That's what they were thinking about. They were thinking about the pillar of fire. And hear me, if you follow Jesus, according to his own words in John chapter 8, if you follow Jesus, you will never, ever walk in darkness again. The pillar of fire that led the Israelites out of bondage, there was no darkness. Even at nighttime, there was light they could see. The pillar of fire led them and told them where to go. But do you know what else the pillar of fire did? It protected them. Did you know that? Like, I don't mean like metaphorically. The pillar of fire protected the Israelites from harm. You remember the story in the book of Exodus? Pharaoh finally lets his people go. They're on their way out, and then Pharaoh gets a little bit angry. He has regret. He pulls his army together, and they begin to chase down the Israelites in order to bring them back into captivity. And the Egyptians catch up to the Israelites, and the Israelites are terrified, and they begin to say, oh man, it's over. We're all going to die out here in the wilderness. And you've got to hear what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 through 21. It says, the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them. Why was it in front of them? Because it was guiding the way, right? The pillar of cloud moved from in front of the Israelites and stood behind them. It came between the Egyptian and the Israelite forces. There was a cloud and darkness which lit up the night. Do you see that? There was a cloud and darkness which lit up the night, and neither group came near the other all night long. And just after that, verse 21, the Bible says that Moses, right after that, stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back with a powerful east wind, and all that water turned into dry land, and they crossed on dry land. Do you see how the light not only guides you, but protects you? Jesus, hear me, Jesus will guide you in this life. He will also protect you in this life. He will guide you and he will protect you. He will help you know where to go, and he'll protect you when you go. And praise be to God that he doesn't just protect us in this life. I think it's so much better than that. He doesn't just guide us in this life and then abandon us at the grave. That's not how it works. No, he will guide you even on your darkest, most challenging, difficult day. Even as you face death, he will guide you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of what? Death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Y'all, Jesus is so, so, so good. And I have to wonder, why in the world wouldn't you follow him? Like, why in the world wouldn't you just say yes to Jesus? He is good. He is light. He's good. I am. He's God. He will guide you. He will protect you. He's the only one who can, because he's good and because he's God. He is the great I am. That's the first option that you have, and I beg you to take it. Follow him. Because if you don't, what Jesus says next is really terrifying. I mean, really, really terrifying. Some scary words here. Your first option, believe and receive, follow Jesus and he will give you the light of life. Your second option is to reject Jesus and you will earn the darkness of death. Spurn and earn. To spurn means to turn away from or to ignore. Many of the Pharisees on that day, they spurned Jesus. They rejected Jesus. And look at what happened when they spurned. Look at what they earned. Look at your Bible. John chapter 8, verse 21. And then he said to them again, I am going away. You will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Y'all need to hear me. Those are scary, terrifying words from Jesus. I'm going away, and you're going to die in your sin. When you die in your sin, it's over. There's no way out. You can't go to where I'm going if you die in your sin. There's no way out of hell if you die in your sin. That is scary. That's terrifying. And honestly, it confused the Jews and the Pharisees. Look at what they said, verse 22. The Bible says, so the Jews said again, well, he won't kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. You're from below, Jesus said. I am from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. Verse 24, look at it in your Bible. Therefore I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Hey, there are only two kinds of people in this world. And that's it. Bama fans and Mizzou fans. No, I'm kidding. That was horrible. Horrible joke. I'm moving on. There are two kinds of people in this world. There are lost people and there are saved people. And every single person, everyone on this planet, all 8 billion people, every single one of them has a decision to make. Every person has to answer a question. Who is Jesus? And the decision that you make, the answer that you give, will impact everything about the rest of your life and everything about the rest of your eternity. Y'all know my story. I was a former atheist. At 19 years old, I came to a T in the highway of life. I was faced with a decision. Which direction would I go? Would I follow Jesus and receive the light of life, or would I reject Jesus and earn the darkness of death? Did you know that when I was in high school, I wanted to be one of three things? I wanted to be an NFL player, an NBA player, or a meteorologist. It's a ridiculous list. I mean, it's a ridiculous list, right? I mean, who would ever think that I could be a meteorologist? I got a shot to be in the NFL still, but a meteorologist, man, I once watched a documentary on clouds and it was way over my head. Get it? There it is. At 19 years old, I made the decision to follow Jesus. And it impacted every single decision, every single facet of my life. No longer was my life my own. I wanted to do what the Lord wanted me to do. I didn't have to do it. I wanted to do what the Lord wanted me to do, even if that meant me giving up my dream for the NBA or the NFL. I wanted to be obedient to Christ. Very early on in my salvation story, I thought I was going to be a full-time missionary. And as I began following closer to Jesus, he began to reveal each step along the way. And I kind of wavered a bit, missionary or a cop or a teacher. And God said, nope, you're going to be a preacher. And I felt a little bit like Moses, like, who am I? I can't do that. And hear me, if I had known in 2001, when I was 19 years old, if I had known the journey that the Lord would lead us on, if I had known the journey the Lord would lead me on, I'm not so sure that I would have taken that very first step. Like if I had known everything he had for me, the pain, the heartache, the challenging times, if I had known all of that, I may not have taken the first step. But that's not how God leads us, is it? He doesn't tell us every single detail that will happen on our journey of life. That's not how he leads us. That's not how he led the Israelites. You want to know how God leads you? One step at a time. He doesn't shine a spotlight in every area of your future. He doesn't give you all the details on day one. He doesn't give you a spotlight. Instead, he gives you a flashlight. And he says, just trust me. Take the next step. He doesn't show you the whole journey, but he does show you two things. When you make that decision to trust Christ, he shows you two things. Number one, he shows you your final destination. That's heaven. You need to know, the Bible says a lot about heaven. There's a lot that we don't know about heaven, but the Bible says a lot about heaven. We know enough about heaven to know that it is a glorious place, far greater than I can imagine, far greater than our minds can imagine. It is glorious. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 gives us a beautiful picture of what heaven will be like. He says this, that he being the Father, will wipe away every tear from your eye. Can you see the loving Father as he walks up to you with his thumb and wipes away the tears from your eyes? It's because He loves you. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have all passed away. That's heaven. There will be no tears in heaven, no death in heaven, no grief in heaven, no pain in heaven. None of that will exist in heaven. And when you make the decision to follow Christ, you see that. You see, not a visual thing, but you see, you understand where heaven is. And you understand that heaven is nothing like this place. He shows you your final destination, but He also shows you your very next step. And that's it. Nothing in between. He doesn't give you the full map. He doesn't tell you which exit to take. He just, one step at a time, one day at a time, being faithful to follow Jesus. Think about the Israelites when they were following the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. It was one step at a time. One step at a time. And when it looked like the enemy was pursuing them and closing in and they cried out, "Oh, we're going to die," it was God who protected them. One step at a time. Which is what, it's what makes following Jesus so much fun. If God had told me in 2001 the journey He had for me, I would have been scared to death. And I don't know that I would have taken that first step. But He didn't show me the full map. He just showed me the next step. And He keeps showing me the next step. And the step after that. And the step after that. And my friends, He'll do the exact same thing for you. I am the light of the world. If you will follow the light of the world, if you will follow Jesus, He will keep showing you the next step. He'll keep showing you what He wants. If you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, if you've never made the decision to repent of your sins and trust in Christ, then today you find yourself at a T in the highway of life. At the end of the road, and you have one of two options, and the question is, which direction will you go? Will you follow Jesus? Or will you reject Him? Know this, there's no in between. Either He is the great I Am, either He is Lord, and if He is, He is to be followed, or He's a lunatic and a liar, and He is to be rejected. What say you? I hope that you say yes to Jesus. If you need to be saved, it is so simple. Repent of your sins and trust in Christ and in Christ alone. And He will forgive your sins. And according to His word, if you follow Him, you will never again walk in darkness. If you need to be saved, do what Jesus said. Follow Him. Believe in Him. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. If you are a believer in the room and you know that you maybe have strayed a bit from God, maybe you've walked away from Him, you aren't walking quite as closely to Him as you should be, there's some areas in your life where you're being disobedient, well, the answer is the same. You say, what do? The answer is the same. Repent. Repent and follow Jesus, and He will give you the light of life. And if you're here and you say, man, I just don't buy it. I just don't buy this book. I just don't believe it. I don't believe that Jesus is Lord. If that's you, then I offer you some scary, scary words. Not from me, but from Jesus Himself. John chapter 8, verse 24. If you reject Jesus today, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that He is the great I Am, if you don't believe that He is God, you will die in your sins. And I am begging you, don't let that be you. You aren't promised tomorrow. You aren't promised this afternoon. I'm begging you, if you don't know Jesus, repent and believe. Don't reject Him. He died for you. He died so that you could have heaven. Don't reject Him. Receive Him. Don't choose darkness. Instead, choose light. and follow the light of the world. To God be the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful again for the day. Thankful that you're a good, loving God who gives us chance after chance after chance after chance to come to you in faith. And God, I pray right now, if there's someone in the room or maybe joining on a live stream or listening on the radio, Lord, they may be struggling with whether or not to believe in you. I pray you would help them to believe, help them to repent. Father, I pray that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, move in a mighty way, save the lost. I pray, God, you would edify the saints, that you would grow us in our knowledge and help us to know exactly what you want us to do. I pray if there's brothers and sisters in the room who have strayed from you, I pray that you would help us to get back on the right track and follow you as the light of life. And Father, we love you and we're so grateful that you purchased heaven for us. We hand this time over to you, this time of decision, praying you're glorified in it. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.